B-Pod Studios.
Hello.
11 a.m. across the Delaware Valley. One of the things I don't want to lose, because I need your help, and I know Jason does too, because it's a fun conversation talking about the talking ball, but also what fills the football void? And I laid out my plan. I don't know why, when people go, no, 16 games is enough, I don't know why they say that.
Well, they look at the wear and tear on the players.
Okay, well, that's why you expand the rosters.
Mm-hmm.
They should have already expanded the rosters.
Well, they're doing a lot of things to protect the players.
Well, I don't know why they don't expand the rosters anyway.
You send it up to like 58, add five roster positions for the active roster.
Yeah,
you could do that.
They should do that.
Creates more jobs. The union would be in favor of.
Well, they should do that. But you know, the way they print money, that league, and the way the physical nature of that league. They should have, that roster should have been raised already.
And the other bye week would be a big factor too, especially when you have Thursday night games.
Right.
You could really ensure that nobody ever plays on a short week.
So the player association says, all right, listen, I want seven jobs, right? Seven spots, not five, seven spots. And we'll give you the extra game.
Yeah. And the salary cap situation goes up too, because you have to sign more players,
right.
And the players are playing more, so the owners are making more. So
right, and then we get what we want, which is, you know, more games,
more football. You don't mess with the playoffs, do you?
And the way I think the playoffs are great the way they are,
I do too.
So I don't feel the need to expand them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mess with the playoffs. Their playoffs to me are a home run.
Yeah, I don't. I agree. To me, I would have the Super Bowl. I'd probably have it. I'm telling you, you're going to laugh at me, but I would do it the same day, Selection Sunday.
Selection Sunday rolls right into that game. Well, Jim Nance doesn't get a break then, like this year where he's doing the Super Bowl with Tony Romo. Then he rolls right into the tournament that Thursday and Friday and right into the Masters. That's a hell of a month for Nance. I love it, though. It's not bad.
I mean, how great would it be? How great would it be to do that?
Yeah. Problem is the parade might be on the first day of... For the city, might be on the first day of the tournament, that Thursday.
Could you imagine the parade on St. Patrick's Day?
That would be crazy.
Like the Eagles win a game?
Like the Phillies parade was on Halloween.
Right.
This is great. 610-632-0975. Let's start off on the phones with Tom, and Glenn Mills is on the Fanatic. How you doing, Tommy?
Hey, fellas. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Tom.
So, I'm not a huge basketball guy, but I know enough about the game to know that if they don't pick somebody up, they can forget about it, man, because I don't think a lot of people think about basketball in terms of, they think about the stars, but they don't understand how important those other pieces can be, man. Like, I grew up, for me, it was when the Sixers played the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, like, Robert Horry, like, just killing us.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Big Shot Bob, yeah.
Yeah, like, to me, I think a guy like Klay Thompson, you know, there's some guy that just, like, can hit, like, I think he's, like, fourth or fifth in the NBA right now, like, in terms of threes. Like, some guy, I don't know, some additional people.
Well, he's a star. I mean, Klay Thompson, the only reason why he's not a bigger star is because he plays next to Curry and Durant.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, maybe they can pick up somebody like him that doesn't require as much, you know.
Yeah, I don't think he leaves. That's the problem. I think he's happy out there and... He'll re-sign, particularly if Porzingis, if Durant leaves and Boogie leaves, then it's up to, then they have the money to throw at Clay.
I feel like everybody, like in terms of the fan base, focuses so much on the big names, but like if you pick up the right piece, it takes a lot of pressure off.
I agree. I mean, I think you have to build a bench. I mean, I think
you know,
the biggest thing is building that bench that can go and give guys rest, like key guys.
I know Martinez is going to cringe when I say this, but I always I always look at basketball kind of like hockey, where you got to have that bench, man. Like, a lot of people don't realize that without the bench, those guys don't stay out the whole game.
Yeah, it's not like hockey, though. I mean, they rotate 40-second shifts.
Oh, totally. It's not the same.
I mean, look, you're right in the sense that of this, Tom, that you have to have a supporting cast. And but in the NBA now, if you want to win, and we see the collusion that happened, obviously, in Golden State, we've seen it with LeBron and Miami, and you're going to see it in this offseason, too, if KD colludes with Kyrie Irving to join with Porzingis in New York, that you need three stars.
Yeah.
You do. You just the salary cap is set in a way where you can fit three stars, and then you got to fill it in with good players around it. You're not going to win. You're not going to win a title, and that's what the process was about. But winning a title,
yeah,
getting the talent that can take you to that level. And now that you know, with Jimmy Butler, if you're going to re-sign him, this is a pivotal moment now for the Sixers. And Elton Brand's tasked with a very difficult situation here on to move forward with a guy who's a malcontent by all accounts, or try and go out there and lure a guy like Kawhi Leonard or KD here to join those two.
You know what the shame is? Oh my God. You know what the shame is I wonder. Now, look, the Warriors is constituted. They're not losing. But if you're able, you still make the Butler trade because you're trading Covington and Dario. So you still have Butler. But you had already re-signed Bellinelli and Ilyasova. Now, Ilyasova got a little bigger contract. But if you had those two, I mean, basically that's all you need.
And you had Butler.
Right.
So you still make the Dario Cove deal for Butler, and then you had Ilyasova and Bellinelli. It's a totally different team.
Right. I mean, like, just because of what they do. Like, you watch Bellinelli during that game. The Duke can still shoot. Like, he's a defensive liability to the max. But he doesn't need to play the amount of minutes he played last year because you have Jimmy there. Right?
Yeah.
So now he's even on a more complimentary role. He basically is JJ when JJ comes out. So you have a dead-eye three-point shooter on the floor at all times during the game between JJ and Bellinelli, and every once in a while, like, if you really need, like, some threes, I mean, they'll kill you defensively, but you can have
put
that
them both
point.
On. Right. In certain situations. And the other thing is you're
better. The games, you know, that sort of thing.
And you're great defensively because you got Simmons, Embiid, and Butler.
And Ilyasova, it's a three.
Yeah.
And Kabord, and he's a tougher Muscala.
Yeah, if those two guys were here, you'd be in a different situation.
No, they would be the favorite with those two guys to win the East.
Come out of the East, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, don't you agree, Andrew? Don't you agree?
Yes, I do.
They're the guys you're looking to shake free. Like, those exact kind of guys. That's the mold of the players. Like,
but it's got to be with Butler.
Yeah, because of the defensive, what he brings at the defensive end, too. Let's go to Chris in Wilmington on the Fnatic. How you doing, Chris?
Love it when you talk hoops, guys.
Hey, Chris.
How is that, Don?
What's up, brother?
Jimmy Butler, to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you sign him, you give him what he wants. I mean, if he'll take less, you keep him. Because,
well, why would he take less?
Well,
would you?
It depends on what other people are offering him. I mean, this view of him being a malcontent, I mean, everybody knows about it, so maybe they're not willing to give him a max. But you know what? If it takes a max, I sign him. I love him on this team. I love him on this team. And, you know, Anthony, we've talked enough. I mean, you know, I've criticized Brett Brown in the past.
Yeah.
But one of the things that you told him, and you have more insight than I do because, I mean, you talked to him, you know, if he's such a really good communicator with players, then this is the perfect situation for him. You know, I mean, Jimmy Butler, let's face it, up to now, Brett Brown has only had to coach his players, young players who are not going to talk back. If he's a good communicator and he can massage egos and make it work well, this is his sweet spot then. And you tell me. I mean, you know him better than I do.
No, I think you're right. I think your assessment is right. And look, you know, what you have said in the past is not wrong when it comes to, you know, what happened against Boston and some of the rotations. And because his demeanor is a strength, he should make this work. I agree. I think it's a great point.
Yeah. Before I get up, I just want to pose a football hypothetical.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
All right. You have a choice. The Eagles, who, you know, I got to say, I was as proud of them this year as I was, maybe even more so than last year. Not as happy. Yeah, they won a Super Bowl last year. You had a choice. Eagles going down valiantly the way they did to the Saints, or, say, losing to the Rams by a couple touchdowns or even to the Patriots a couple touchdowns out of the Super Bowl, which I don't think the Birds this year, because of the injuries, I don't think they'd have a shot. Which do you pick?
So to go to the championship game and lose?
They go to the chip and lose.
And get beat pretty bad. Yeah, to me, it's a no-brainer. I pick the extra game.
Absolutely.
I don't care if I get blown out. It's just another week of being festive.
Yeah, and it's more experience for younger players. It's everything.
Yeah, but
you'll take your chances.
Beyond everything, it's another week, another game that I could have.
Yeah.
Plus, they already beat the Rams earlier in the year.
Yeah.
But again, under his...
Right.
Under what he's saying.
But he said, because I don't think they're as good of a team.
Right.
But they beat him earlier in the season.
Right. But under Chris's thing, they get blown out. Like, that's the... Which would you rather choose?
I'm still taking the extra
week. I get a whole week of...
No-brainer.
You know, Eagles... Eagles, Eagles, Eagles.
I mean, we were miserable last week. Last week was awful, leading up to the NFC Championship game. That was a tough week.
Well, yeah.
Because the games are so big. It's withdrawal.
Yeah. And the thing, you look at it too, and you go, well, you know, like you said, I'm very proud of what the Eagles accomplished this year. I actually firmly believe that I think Doug Peterson did a better job this year than he even did winning the Super Bowl. He did a great job the Super Bowl season and what they overcame that year. But to do what they did this year and to keep his group moving forward and still playing, given that they won the Super Bowl last year, they had the equity with the fan base and everybody else, and the situation they were in, for the fact that they battled the way they did down the stretch was so impressive to me.
Yes.
I'm really proud of the job that they did.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Before we take a quick respite, I want you guys to think about this. This is question number two of the Friday Five. The first one, and we need your help on this, is give us a remedy for football withdrawal.
All right.
The second one is, everybody has something right now that is irritating them. And it could be something in sports, in life. Purge it.
I got multiple.
All right.
All right.
Purge what's the biggest thing right now that's irritating you.
All right. Very interesting question. 610-632-0975. That's the number. Getting a couple open lines if you want to grab. We'll talk to Alex in Germantown coming up, and you as well. And we'll continue the discussion. Plus, what's irritating you? Purge it. I like that. You got to get it out sometimes. You can't carry it. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, Jason. You're a man of many irritations.
Yeah.
You are always irritated by something, which is irritating to me.
Yeah.
I'm teasing.
Well, you always got a beef with something. And yes. Look, this irritation is not a stranger to anyone, because a lot of people in this area live it, whether it's on Route 42 in New Jersey or 76 or 95. You know, you live around a major metropolitan city and there's traffic. But yesterday I get out of here and I get on 76 and my route shows before I leave that I'm good to go. All clear. But then I get on 76 and 4.5 miles ahead of me when I come to a complete stop is a jackknife tractor trailer at the curve. I sat, my tires didn't go a full rotation.
So what's
for over
the curve
hour.
All the time? I always hear
Concha
it.
Curve.
Where's that? On
Conshohocken. Yeah.
No, I know it's in Conshohocken, but it's...
Yeah, like
it's
on your way to King of Prussia.
It's on the Schuylkill.
Mm-hmm.
That's the curve, because they always call it the curve.
Yeah, where it meets up with 476 to go that, and it's a big kind of... You know, intersection of superhighways, if you will.
Yes.
And 76 is built so poorly that if there's an accident, there's no way to get around it because there's very limited shoulders and it's so tight. And I sat there for over an hour and tires didn't even go a full rotation. I had the car in park, sat there 2 hours and 40 minutes to get home from here, 31 miles.
Oh!
Yeah. I was slightly irritated. I thought the bladder was going to burst. I was starting to look for things to relieve myself in, but I made it. Yeah, it was awful. I mean, and traffic's irritating. And, you know, and finally I see Oh, the wreckage is finally completely cleared, and it still took another 25 minutes to get the wheels moving. Yeah, 4.5 miles backed up. It was crazy. Traffic irritates the hell out of me. But I live out there, and the day comes with the turf. People say, why don't you move closer? Well, I love where I live. It's where I grew up. I love the schools my kids are in, the whole thing. So that's where I live, and once in a while, you got to suffer through it, but it's irritating. You know what I mean?
Yes.
What's your biggest irritation?
Mine? I'm not really a complainer in that sense.
You got nothing that's irritating you right now, sports-wise?
No, I mean, just missing football is really it.
Yeah, well,
I wish the Phillies would get... I wish Harper would get on with it. It's not, you know, I know I hear the Phillies. But I'm the proctor, so I like to ask the questions.
Oh, okay, so you're not subjected to have to answer them. Okay.
No.
All right, I sit there on your high horse. All right.
That's right.
But that is something that I agree with you about. The fact that Harper and Machado haven't signed has me irritated. It's like, come on. Let's go.
Yes.
I mean, there's a window of time that should be like 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, baseball needs to be completely redone, makeover. An old sport needs a makeover.
Yeah.
Like, how could you not have a succinct period of time where free agency starts and ends? It makes no sense to me. How could it just drag on? Like, the NBA, you got boom, 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 and it's over.
It's an action market. So is the NFL.
How much more can you shoot yourself in the foot, like you just said about hockey? But baseball does it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. Andrew, what's irritating you, my man?
I know the Harper Machado thing's got to be irritating him.
Yeah, but I also understand why they're doing it. They're trying to get as much money as possible.
Well, why are they doing it?
They're trying to get as much money as possible.
Okay, aren't the offers
there? They're weighing it out.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, you understand that? They both want the other one to go. That said, there has to be a rule in place where there's an end game.
Well, yeah, definitely before spring training. Oh, I mean, heck, Jake Arrieta last year
you're almost at 100 days.
But you know what the point is? You want to use free agency to garner interest in the sport.
Oh, yeah. No, it's bothering me. That's not what I'm irritated about the most right now. I mean, it's like I kind of see why it's happening. Mine, it always goes back to Twitter. That's why when I get home, I just shut off my phone and I don't look at it at all. And the biggest thing that's bothering me right now is the Twitter muscles. They're flexing them even harder now.
Oh, really?
And as much as I didn't really buy the Philly Voice story, the fact that I heard that the dude got death threats for writing it, I'm like, dude, what's wrong with where you're sending death threats because a guy wrote a story like that? Just because you did not like the way the story was written.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Did he really get death threats?
Apparently,
yeah, they've been documented with his address included and everything.
They said, I'm going to come get you.
I guess.
I mean.
Now, I don't know how much.
People think they're anonymous a lot of times.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, yeah. I mean, are you losing sleep over that? Like,
but it bothers me that it's like, dude, you really feel that tough that you can log on to Twitter and say, I'm going to kill you because you wrote a story that I don't like to read.
You believe
and it goes back to politics, too. It's like, oh, you're on one side of the fence, I'm on the other, and you guys want to fight?
Like,
come on.
Yeah, but that's odd. Like, yes, you're right. That's called civility, right? Like, I get it. But you're expecting social media is the most uncivil place in the universe.
A cesspool.
So, you know, I don't know why people are surprised by that.
No.
And,
there's no checks and balances. That's why.
And you go, you know, is it credible? No, it's not credible. No, you know it's not credible.
But it has to be deemed actionable.
But it's kind of used as, oh my God, I've received death threats.
Yeah, it's sensational. It sensationalizes it.
I just think it's absurd.
It is absurd.
I'm a pretty laid back guy.
You're right. It is absurd. It's completely ridiculous on every sense of the word. The fact that, you know, some reporter would be subjected to a threat. Now, again, my only point is, I think he sensationalized the threat.
Along with the story.
I mean, I got death threats. All right.
Yeah. Well,
right. I mean,
you shouldn't even be making that public if it was like credible, if you will.
I mean, right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, why?
I mean,
why
by the way, social media, right? Social media, again, is uncivil. By nature.
Yeah, there was like right before Christmas, I had a situation where I posted a picture with Gritty because he was down in the locker room where I was working. I just posted a picture of me and him. Some guy responded to me like a real jerk. And he called me, oh, you're a midget and blah, 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 and called me an A, the whole thing. So I looked at his profile. I see he's a slob. So I just quoted me and said, "Hey, you believe this guy says this to me? Blah blah blah. He must not own a mirror." And I get all these DMs from people going, "Hey, you know this guy's an elected official, by the way, over in Jersey." I said, "Oh, really?" So I started kind of combing through his Twitter, and I see that he's using really disparaging language towards females in our business and beyond. And so I exposed him. I exposed the guy.
Wow.
I wrote the mayor of the town an email with the screenshots and the whole thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I exposed him. I said, enough of this.
You're a hero.
There's got to be some accountability in this world.
Yeah, I applaud you.
When it comes to doing that stuff.
You're a hero.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be an elected official, have a little level of decorum. I don't think I'm asking too much. So, and it worked. He did a nice apology to me, but he misspelled my name. Attention to detail when you apologize. 610-632.
Who's the guy?
I'm not going to dig it up further.
Well, who was the, what town was it?
Belmar.
Belmar, New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. 610-632-0975.
Hero, Jason Martinez.
Well, I fight, Anthony. Let's go to Alex in Germantown on the Fanatic. How you doing, Al?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good, Alex.
Hey, one of the things I think we have to keep Jimmy Butler. I mean, I would like to keep him. The only thing I could say, if they didn't want to keep him, is it possible they could do, say, a sign and trade at the end of the season? And one of the things I was thinking, like Tim Hardaway Jr. from the Knicks, they're trying to move him. I think he would be a good piece for the Sixers. And considering I think his contract is like $18 million, maybe he might be able to get him for maybe like a first rounder or something. I mean, one of ours, that's probably going to be a low pick or something. What would you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, he can fill it. He certainly can score. He plays no defense, but, you know, he can score. I mean, these are all credible. You know, that's another credible bench name.
Yeah, especially because J.J. Redick, what do you think? He may have like another year or two playing at the level he is. So we got to be looking at potentially, you know, the personal.
Yeah, I mean, that's way too much money for Tim Hardaway Jr., but, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think we got to keep Butler. We gave up too much. I mean, like, we might not necessarily need, like, with free agency, like another superstar, but a couple good, solid pieces.
You need a third piece, right? Like, you got that third piece has to be a top two-tier player, right?
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Because I'm thinking as good as Ben and Joe are, if we had, you know, like three or four really solid starters alongside them, I think that would be enough.
I think you need a star. I think you need three stars in this league.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just think you need a better. It's got to be. It doesn't have to be top tier guys, but I think if Embiid's a top one tier,
yeah.
Ben's in a top two tier. Yeah, you need another top two tier guy.
But see, I like Ben. I just think the criticism he's getting, he's only in his second year.
I agree. You're
like
right.
He's going to be great.
I agree. I think you're dead right.
But you need another guy that can score. And Ben's not a scorer.
No, not. I mean, he's been putting up like 20 points. It seemed like for the last week or so.
He averages about 14 points a game.
Yeah. All right.
He's a facilitator.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
You need a guy that you know can go into the game and score, because Embiid's going to get his, and that's huge. But you're going to need a second option that can fill it up. And you need a guy that's going to be able to average anywhere between 18 and 22, and that's what Butler is. But the thing is, and to Alex's point, you never double down on a mistake. You can't go, well, we need him so bad, and we need that kind of player so bad that if he's not the right guy from an off the court perspective,
yeah, but I don't
that's
know.
An infection.
I don't know that he's that bad. I'll be honest. I mean, I don't know that.
Well,
I mean,
time will tell. They have more season left to figure that out.
These qualities, I like his qualities.
Yeah, but you don't have to live with the qualities on a plane ride in the hotels and in practice.
Yeah, like he wants to win.
Court.
Like, he's an alpha who wants to win. I like that.
Yeah, but everybody wants to win. But no, it's way you go about it, how that manifests.
He's competitive, though. He looks at Ed Wiggins and goes, yeah, you're a loser. Get the hell out of here. I love what he said, which was when he walks out of practice, because you're a bunch of losers. You need me to win.
Yeah, well, that's
and, then he, and he went back and he won the game. Like, it was great.
Well, he went at it with the general manager and said, "You effing right. need me," to the GM.
Right. Which I liked. I mean, I'll be real. I like that. Like, he does it. Because you know what he does? On the floor, he's not selfish. On the floor, he plays both ends of the floor, and he's not selfish.
Well, how that kind of goes behind the scenes in the day-to-day.
If not him... My only question is...
Not him who?
You want to move on. All right. If not him who? KD again would be a possibility. Slim, but he should want to come to Philadelphia.
Yeah, you may have to do a sell job. Nice PowerPoint presentation
to KD. So, KD, you have, of all the guys, right? And just because we were talking about, just the FYI, the top tiers, Harden, LeBron, KD, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Steph, Joe, Giannis, Westbrook... Paul George, Kyrie. So the only guy of that group that you're going to get the possibility, however slim, is Durant. All right?
Maybe Kawhi.
No.
You know, there's no chance?
I mean, obviously I would look at it, but
yeah.
From everything I hear, he's going west.
All right, and Brett's not going to be able to use past relationships.
If he couldn't do it before...
Well, that was a trade.
Okay.
So they didn't want to make the trade.
Yeah, part of the reason why was... You know, I don't think they could sign him long term. Like, they wanted to sign him long term.
Yeah, he's straight up said, "I'm going to L.A."
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other thing is the Sixers didn't have the pieces to send to San Antonio.
I don't buy it. All right.
Well, they ended up getting DeRozan. Do they have a piece they could send to, like, DeRozan?
No. I don't buy that they could have put together a better package.
Okay. With that Miami pick and use that?
Dario and Covington, you know. Okay. Then the second tier is Ben Tatum... Towns, Porzingis when he plays, McCollum. Oh, and I think you got a shot at McCollum. Oladipo, Blake, DeRozan, Boogie, Lillard, Clay. I think he returns. Jokic. I'll put Bradley Beal there.
What about Devin Booker?
I love that. He's not going anywhere.
Why yeah. Phoenix no, I'm just in that second player? Tier.
Yeah. I like Devin Booker. He can score. Bradley Beal. I mean, I'll put him there. I like Bradley Beal a lot. Can shoot. He fits the bill. You know, I don't know what Washington. To shame, my cousin and I were just talking about this. Why is Trevor Ariza on the Wizards? Like, they played Golden State last night, and I was watching the game. Like, I had the game on. I'm going, why is he on the Wizards? And it's funny because my cousin Joe and I were just talking about it. Like, it's a waste. Like, he should be on the Wizards.
Yeah, they're going nowhere.
Right. He's a guy that should be on a contender. Play him a contender, and he's a freaking perfect fit for this team.
I mean, they traded for him.
I know.
That's so weird.
It is weird, really weird. And he's a perfect fit for the Sixers.
Maybe you try and pry him out of there. Put Fultz in that deal from down in Dematha, which isn't too far.
I mean, he's a great fit for the Sixers.
Yeah. Well, we'll see when they fall completely off the map if they're willing to part with a guy like Ariza.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. James in Old City joins us on the Fanatic. How you doing, James?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's up, bud?
Yeah, this is great. You're just talking about that article. You got like a coup d'etat going on in Venezuela, but you got Joe Santamaría hiding out, trying to avoid assassination of an article about Carson Wentz that nobody read. Come on.
He's down in Boca.
He's in the embassy. He's in the embassy in Belgium.
In the basement, right?
Yeah. He's in the Honduran embassy in Belgium right now. Unbelievable. No,
that's guys, what I mean, like, a little perspective here.
Yeah, what are we doing here? I mean, come on. Good for him. Unreal.
That's awesome.
Yo, Ann, what do you think about Enes Kanter on the Sixers?
You are, as a big, listen, I mean,
yeah,
he's another.
Yeah, put him in there. He's a body. He's big.
I know. You know.
Well, I think he wants to win.
Yeah, listen, I think you do need a backup big. So, I mean, all these names I'm in on. Like, yeah, I want to build, like, I want to build, like, if you look at what LeBron did with the Cavs, right?
Right.
And they went way over the luxury tax. He just collected dudes, right? Like, he had all these older veterans. And so that bench was all, and each year, they either, if they were too old, they left, and he filled it with somebody else. Or, you know, they hung around. And you look at what they're able to do, the depth, you can go nine vets deep.
That's what it is. That's the thing. I totally agree. Depth, to me, is more like you were talking about. And I mean, I'm not going to go against it, but you're talking about getting, like, another top guy. To me, this team lacks depth. Because I think with, I know you say you want to have three, you know, stars, which
I'm just saying, in lieu of Butler, like if you want, because right. People are saying no Butler. All right, well, if you don't want Butler, well, then who's your answer? Because you need a third guy.
Right, I agree with that. But yeah, you were talking about the football season ending and all. Like, I wanted to give like a big ups to my boy Steve Donahue, who's over in Penn, man. Penn's yes. Back.
How about it? They beat, yo, he's a good coach, man.
Oh, man.
They beat Villanova, and they beat Temple.
And they got some, a couple, and Temple's doing great this year. They beat Memphis last night.
Yeah, they got the win.
Temple.
Won by
Temple
nine.
Temple might get, they might, they got a couple big games coming. They got Houston and Cincinnati, they can win both of them. If they make, you know, they make some noise in that tournament, they'll get in. Hopefully Penn wins the Ivy.
Yeah.
So we got, there's hope, man. I know football's over, but you got, this is where I switch usually when it gets to like you used to call it, man, the dog days of February, where it's just like, you know, 17 degrees out.
It's the hole in the sports calendar.
You just switch to college basketball.
Yeah.
Well, and I like specifically go to local, because to me, local's the way to go. And the national, I'll keep an eye on it. But, you know, we got the big five. We got some good squads. We'll be all right.
All right, James, I'll tell you what, I'm going to fill your void. How about that? All right, Sunday, there's no football this Sunday, but I'm going to hook you up with a pair of tickets to see Temple take on Cincinnati. This Sunday at noon at the Leah Kors Center, presented by PFCU. First 1,500 fans receive Temple gloves in 1999. The Elite 8 team from 99 is going to be recognized at the halftime.
That's my squad.
There you go, man.
Got Lamont Barnes on that squad.
Yeah, there you go. All right, James, hang on. Andrew will get you, get your information. Visit alstix.com for info. So we just helped a guy. We just filled his void for Sunday. He's going to go watch Temple take on Cincinnati, the Bearcats.
There's nothing better than when you give away a prize and the caller says, yeah.
Yeah, that's the...
like, that's awesome.
Desired effect.
To you, baby.
Yeah.
I like that.
And they're going to honor his squad, the 99 squad. They went to the Elite Eight. 610-632-0975. It is Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, and we're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Why does that Dave thing crack me up so much? I really hope that he is a success. Because I think he could be fun.
Oh, he's got idiosyncrasies about the way he conducts himself. And he could be fun if he changes a little bit. I'm not saying he needs to like throw analytics out the sunroof of the car driving down 95. But... make some self-evaluation changes.
It's a shame that listen, you know, just behind the radio walls for a second, the teams are very, the stations, the two sports stations in town are equally defensive when it comes to their properties, right? So the other stations, the Eagles and the Phillies, we have Sixers and Flyers, and so, you know, you want to kind of build the wall around those properties. You don't want the other guy. But I would love to have Gabe in to talk about, just to shoot the breeze for 20 minutes.
Yeah, pick his brain. And
like, interesting. I've been down there and talked to him, but I'd like to actually sit down with him and do a whole thing. He'd be fun.
I think he's extremely interesting, just from the ice cream and the way he talks, obviously, and, you know, his mental philosophy about the game and the way it's played today, the way he handles players and positive nature.
He would be interesting, you know, like just like to talk. It's funny because people would find him endearing if he was talking tans and spitting out ice cream. If he goes, yeah, like I'm a weirdo. I do. I spit out this. I
know it's bizarre.
I like, you know, and make fun of yourself. I go, yeah, I know. I just, you know, I have this weird idiosyncrasy, or I have this weird thing I do, and I like tans. Like, people don't crack up laughing. Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, the key to being a character is you just got to embrace who we are.
Yeah, exactly. Embrace it and know that's who you are and be fine with it and be cool about it.
And then people dig it.
Yeah. Let me read you this tweet, because at Fanatic JD, I think it is on Twitter, says, can we stop perpetuating these Jimmy Butler rumors? I'm not putting any stock into a Boston-based writer and Celtics fan trying to stir up problems for the Sixers. This is an outsider from our biggest rival, and everyone's eating it up. I don't get it. Well, here's the deal. Jackie McMullen, first of all, is a very credible reporter. And if you want to take that tactic, the story about Brian Colangelo came out of The Ringer, which is out of Boston. And so I don't care where it comes from. She's not trying to stir trouble. She's not going to put her journalistic reputation on the line.
Honestly, listen. That's crazy. Just an FYI to the tweeter. Brother, listen. Someone like Jack McMullen, who was at the Boston Globe forever, Sports Illustrated, who was a beyond reproach. You're not on a team. You're not out there trying to do something for your team. It's different. There's no fandom involved. You're completely an objective reporter.
Yeah, she's at ESPN
so
now.
Just understand that Jackie McMullen, I'm giving you where she was,
yeah.
Which is, she was at the Boston Globe at the height of when the Boston Globe was the Boston Globe. One of the best newspapers in the country. She was at Sports Illustrated when it was at its height. She's above reproach. She's a great reporter, the great journalist. I trust her 100%.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as plain fandom.
Yeah, let's play the cut again. Since he said, can we move on from this? I'm going to play it now. So this is Jack McMullen on the Zach Lowe podcast talking about Jimmy Butler and his standing with the Sixers.
What do you think of Jimmy Butler? What's your, like, takeaway?
I think he's on thin ice, Zach. I think he's on thin ice. And I think he's a very talented player. And no one's ever called him soft either.
Oh, okay? Hell no.
No. And he, on paper, would be exactly what you would want on a team. Because he's not a selfish player. I would never say that about him. He defends. Boy, does he defend. He gets at it. He makes good decisions on the offensive end of the floor. But this, I don't know him well enough to know, is it real or is it bravado, this whole idea that I'm going to take everybody on, like, you're going to bully me, you're going to call me a bully, I'm going to bully you back, and all this stuff. And I can tell you that having spent a couple days in Philadelphia, you know, they don't love it. And I think you probably, if you read the story, you know there was one Philadelphia person in the organization that said, you know, if you want to get paid, be quiet. You might try that.
Well, so the report that what she's essentially reporting is that he has been disruptive and they're not thrilled with the behind the scenes aspect of Jimmy Butler as a Sixer. And it's led to him being on, her quote, thin ice. So she spent some time here and this is what she heard. And you cannot take her at her word if you choose to. But again, like you, I know she's a credible reporter. She's not trying to damage the Sixers to make the Celtics look better or something like that.
Again, one of the things is that people talk and there's always agenda. And that's one of the problems that you face, that any organization faces. You know, listen, we know that he was not happy with Brett Brown. I mean, that was obvious. He came out and said it. It was all over.
And Embiid said it too.
Yeah,
pretty.
But that's Paul
early in his arrival.
That's all part of the. You know, he's a big personality, so yeah.
and
he's going to make some waves.
And Brett Brown is incumbent upon how he handles the big personality, because a caller brought it up earlier. He's dealt with a lot of young players in his time here. Brett Brown. We obviously know what the process was in the 4 years of tanking. But beyond that, mostly what he's had to deal with are young players. And I said the veterans like J.J. Redick, who was here, and some other veterans have been a part of this. But it's mostly been a young group, which is easier to kind of manage in that way over a guy who is a total alpha, who's got a history with a couple of teams of being disruptive and to a point where you can say it's competitive, but it was counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
To moving things forward, which made them have to trade him.
Yes.
The one was a signing with Minnesota. No, that was a draft day trade, wasn't it?
Yep.
610-632-0975. Chris in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good afternoon as we're changing over here at the midway point of the day.
What do you say, brother?
Hey, I need help.
What's up?
I'm calling. I need help. This MLB free agency, man, I got a problem. They say the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem.
I
can't take it anymore, man.
Well, it's not you that's got the problem, Chris. It's Major League Baseball's got the problem.
Well, it's affecting my life.
Mm-hmm.
My wife left me. I'm sitting here in a dark room on Twitter, refreshing every 30 seconds.
Hashtag Harper Watch.
Yeah, I'm leaning on guys like Greg Luzinski and MLB the Show to give me like real news.
It's right, brother. That's right. No, it's horrible. It's so bad. You know what's amazing, Chris, is that this sport doesn't have a set rule with it. Like, it's got to happen. Every other sport, the minute the clock strikes midnight, the biggest names are done, and there's this big lead-up. And baseball, it just goes on and on and on, and people go, get the hell out of here.
It's like watching a game.
Yeah.
You're waiting for something to happen, and it hasn't happened.
And I listen, these guys all need, I think they all need to get paid. You know, what they're worth. But I mean, the fact that these guys might get underpaid is insane because nobody's in. Nobody's in on Harper or Machado. It's nuts. And every, you know, they're coming out with,
well, who do you blame? You know, who do you blame, Chris? Do you blame the players? Do you blame the players' agents? Do you blame the teams? You know, I'm not sure where the blame lies because I don't know that teams have said, this is our offer. Here it is. Or not. Well, I don't know.
Like I said, I need help at this point because my brain is so twisted up. Is it the owners and collusion? Is it the players? Like what? Like, just friggin' sign Harper. Get him in a Phillies jersey so I can go to sleep and, like, be a normal person again.
I love
it. Yeah, see, I don't think it's collusion in the owners. Maybe it's incumbent upon the team to say, look, all right, here's our offer. It's $375 million over 10 years. And you got the Friday to accept it, or else we got to go out and start to sign other guys because we've been stuck in this waiting game that is absurd at this point. Because you're right, the NBA free agency, it happens. The buildup is there. Where's LeBron going to go? Where's Paul George going to sign? Is he going to go to LA and enjoy LeBron, or is he going to stay in Oklahoma City? You know, what's going to happen? Where's he going to go? And then you get it the same thing with, you have it this offseason with Kawhi and Kyrie and KD, all these guys, right? Huge names, too. Of massive consequence. The same thing happens in the NFL. You have like a legal tampering period and 4 o'clock hits and, you know, Shefty's reporting, this guy's going here. Brandon Graham's going to end up with the Chiefs or, you know, and all the Eagles, they always make a big splash in some way, shape, or form. You know, this is happening and it gets you. This thing's been, okay.
Dude, this thing, it's bizarre. It's bizarre.
Imagine covering the game?
Well, yeah, I used to. Listen, I covered I'm not one of these lifelong, like Jason, God bless him, Jason Stark, who is going to the Hall of Fame. You know, I could never cover that sport, and that's all I did. First of all, I have a problem. It was one of the things, as a writer, I never wanted one beat. I like the variety. So I would cover basketball. I do a lot of big stories. That's why I like going to different sports.
Bop it around.
But if I was to cover one beat, it would be football. This beat, the baseball beat, is, other than the travel, which I liked, because you got to unpack.
Yeah, multiple days, yeah.
Which was great. The sport itself is a bear to cover. First of all, the games run into one another. Second of all, if you have a bad team, which I did, it was awful. Third of all, the sport itself is messed up. So I covered a strike. I mean, I was on the bus. It was August the 12th, and it was the strike year of 94. And the Mets played the Phillies. So at the end of that game, the players had no transportation back to New York.
Because the strike was on.
So they rented a bus. So I asked, can I ride the bus with you? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. Come on. Because I was real friendly with the players. So I rode a bus from the dateline, they call it, where you're from, like where you're writing the story at, was the somewhere on the Jersey Turnpike. And I wrote about this whole scene of these players being on a bus as they're heading into the unknown of what's going to happen.
Yeah, the purgatory of where's this going, you know, this labor strike.
And it turns out the last, like, throughout, it canceled the World Series. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to tell me that a sport that cancels its championship, it canceled the World Series. Could you imagine no Super Bowl?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, you have the season all the way through August, and then it goes, boop, goes away. That's why the Phillies...
And we thought it was going to be a quick thing. You know, they'll be back. You get the World Series. Thing lasted. And there's nothing worse than sitting in a outside a friggin' New York law office.
Negotiations. Manhattan,
like, it was the worst. And then chasing after owners and going to Chicago. Like, I remember being in O'Hare Airport in Chicago, sitting there with my notebook at the Marriott. They were in a Marriott ballroom at O'Hare or Hyatt, wherever whatever hotel was there. And I'd be there with a notebook, tape recorder, waiting for these guys to get out of the meeting. And then you run over to the owner, one of the couple guys you knew that would tell you really what happened. And it was just a slog. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan, did you read? I write these stories. I know nobody read. Like, you want to read as a fan update on the negotiations?
Yeah, wake me up when it's back is the,
right.
is the mindset.
You're like, yes, I don't want to care about that. I care about the sport.
Yeah, when it's on the field, let me know.
They have killed that sport systematically.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
It was once America's pastime.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.